Before we start the show, can we have a few words in honor for Sean?
Of course. Dear Spicy. Bye, Felicia.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we welcome a professional, a father, a friend, an optimist, a fellow podcaster, and an ally to the LGBT community. Nick G, who is the host of the Dependent Independent podcast, will be chatting with us on the second half of the show. Be sure to stick around for that. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and I'm here with my friend, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you guys all to
The Dish.
It's another Monday night here in New Haven, Connecticut. We're super excited. There's so much to talk about. So much has happened this past week. It's been insane.
It's been a busy one.
I am happy to be here with my boys, as always.
I haven't seen you in like a week, I feel like.
I know.
Literally a week. Well, I was wicked sick.
Well, you were the last time you were here. You were, and you took a little hiatus, and we missed you, by the way. Because, you know, I always miss my Chris.
I got to spend time with both of you guys this weekend, so I'm fulfilled.
Exactly.
How filled are you?
Well, are you not as filled as I was last weekend, but filled.
Ooh, girl.
Well, I feel filled. I do.
Well, that's because you had the day off, and, you know, when she has the day off, the lube isn't on the counter.
No, it's in the bathroom.
It's in the bathroom.
The Astro Glide's next to the sink, and it's halfway empty.
Well, I had to wash the bottle off because, you know, when you have lube on your hands and you grab the bottle, it gets slippery, so you got to rinse it off.
Mm-hmm. But I'd be more worried that I'd be putting more lube on because I'd see it there and think it's soap. So I'd be like, why won't this fucking come off? And I just keep squeezing more on my hands.
Well, it is water-based, so.
So I have a question.
Oh.
Okay.
How do you two feel about borrowing lube? So, like, say your roommate, you ran out and you need it, and your roommate has lube. How do you feel about borrowing their lube?
It depends. I mean, I'm very particular about my lubricants because, you know.
She goes to Costco for them, we know.
Well, no, I prefer a water-based. Some people like silicone-based. I don't know. It's just.
But like in a pinch. You're in a pinch. You need lube.
Go ahead. No, I've been in that situation before. And I went and I grabbed the bottle of lube and I'm like, that pube's a different hue than mine and a different length, so I think I'm done with this. It was someone else's pube on it. Well, obviously, it's probably the roommate's, but
I just got a flashback about that story you told us when you were in Texas and you went in and bought a bottle of lube and then you lost it and you had to go back.
It was a tub.
Can we be friends on Facebook?
Jesus. Sure. Fine. He wants to suffice me. Yeah, so that was a no-go. Needless to say, we did not become friends on Facebook.
Okay, aww. So the reason I brought this up is because this past weekend, not this weekend, the previous one, I ran out and was in a situation where I needed some. So I went ahead and I borrowed my roommate's lube. And, I mean, it worked. It was great. And it was fine. But for some reason, I felt so gross afterwards.
Why?
I don't know. I felt like dirty, almost like I used, I don't know, like I slept with him. I don't know, but it was just like this moment of like, ooh.
It's not like you shoved a dirty tampon or something up your butt.
All I'm imagining right now is like Nick's roommate sitting in his room watching a movie. Nick runs in, cupping his balls, like, I need this real quick. And just like runs out.
What would be really awkward is if his roommate went to jerk off and couldn't find his lube and walked into his room and found him going at it.
With his lube. Like, this bitch.
So, funny story, because you just reminded me of it, Chris. When I was in college,
these stories tend to be really funny.
I was, we were at my best friend's house, and there was a party going on, and at the end of the party, you know, people couple off, and of course, I coupled off with somebody who I probably shouldn't have coupled off with, that I have for far too long in my life. But anyway, we coupled off, and this motherfucker had no condoms in his room.
Oh, Lord. What did you have to do?
Unprepared.
My best girlfriend was downstairs in her parents' bedroom having sex with her boyfriend. And I ran downstairs And I busted into her room and she's like mid-coitus. And I'm like, oh my God, Brett, I really need a condom.
Lord have mercy. Name drop.
Public service announcement. These are called key parties for anyone listening.
Brett, thank you for being such a good girl and getting our homeboy over here a condom.
Supplying me with a condom.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So guess what, boys? It is National Tequila Day. So in spite of that, we are going to talk about our cocktail for today. Christopher.
Oh, that's a lot of reading here.
Oh, do you want me to do it?
No, I could do it. Okay. I had a ton of margaritas last night. So
we had a margarita last week as well. Last week we had a strawberry margarita.
Correct.
And we didn't know, I had no clue that National Tequila Day was coming up. So I said, hey, what the hell? Let's do another one. But this one is actually very hot. Yeah. Go, Christopher.
Indeed it is. And this is probably one of my favorite kind of margaritas. We're actually doing a fresh jalapeno margarita.
I like it. He said the ño.
Yes, indeed, with an ñe. Okay, so the ingredients, this consists of kosher salt and a lime wedge. You want to rim the glass with the lime wedge.
Just then tossing.
Then you gently dip it in the salt and let that dry while you're building the cocktail. Then you can use, obviously, some ice because we're doing them on the rocks. 2 ounces of silver tequila. 3 tablespoons freshly squeezed lime juice. We don't need to keep going on all that.
Yeah.
A tablespoon of freshly squeezed orange juice. That helps pull some of the bite back when you put a little OJ in it. Mm-hmm. Then we're using 1.5 teaspoons of a light agave nectar.
Oh, it's so good.
And then this is the fun part. 1/4 to 1/2 of a jalapeno pepper cut into thin, round slices. You can use more if you like it spicy or a little less if you don't. And some lime wedges to garnish it as well. So again, the directions, you rim the glass with the salt. Pour a thin layer of salt onto you rim the glass with the lime, you pour a thin layer of salt onto a small plate, and then you touch the glass to that salt, and you can get a nice rim on it. And you want to let it dry, like I said, while you're building the cocktail. In a small shaker with additional ice, you add the tequila, the lime juice, the orange juice, the agave nectar, and the jalapeno slices. Tightly close that and shake vigorously for about 30 seconds. And it's longer than you think, and your hands are going to be fucking cold. Strain that into the rim glass and enjoy. You can garnish it with lime wedges, extra jalapenos. And if you want to pull back on the spice a little bit, you can even throw a couple cucumber slices in there. Mm. And that's nice and cooling, but it still has the earthiness from the jalapeno.
This has got to be one of the most sexually sounding
cocktails.
I was like, okay, wait a minute. So we've got moisture. We've got shake vigorously. Mm-hmm. We've got rimming. Mm-hmm. This is an amazing cocktail.
Thank you.
It's like you get a good bang for your buck.
Exactly. 3 bangs.
Damn. For but anyway, it's a delicious cocktail. It is a little spicy, but it is delicious. Try not to suck up what we did because we don't want to like take a big like sip of tequila or the cocktail and end up with a jalapeno in our mouth while we're talking to you on the show. So Christopher, as always, he's just so amazing. He muddled a lot of it, and then we took that juice and we put it into our cocktail so that we didn't have to sit here and swallow pieces of jalapeno.
And if you
really, don't have to do that.
Right. It's more work. But if you also want to avoid some of the extra spice, but you still want the earthiness, because that's what the jalapeno, the pepper brings to it, gives it like a real earthy flavor, make sure you get rid of the seeds. If the seeds don't go in there, it's not going to be as overpoweringly spicy. So just a little hint for you guys going out and trying to make them yourself. They're delicious.
Delicious. Lube and cocktails.
Boom.
And rimming.
And spicy bye.
Yeah.
Oh, spicy.
Oh, fuck her.
Well, now we have, what's her name? Sarah. I can't fuck if he's Sanders.
Sanders.
Huckabee Sanders.
Huckabee Sanders.
That could be our new name. We have Waffle House Kim.
They appointed a new one.
Oh, they did? So she was like an interim for it? Because she was the deputy.
No, she's it.
I thought she took over because she was the deputy press secretary.
No. The director of communications is Anthony Scaramucci.
Yeah,
but the press secretary.
The press secretary is
she's
Sarah
the one who goes
Huckabee
out.
Sanders.
No, but we're going to call her Sarah.
Sorry,
I can't
blonde
the
moment.
Huckabee Sanders. Sarah, I can't the Huckabee Sanders.
All right, well, you're going to be in charge of making sure you say that
can
all
you
the
say
time.
That again, please?
Sarah the Fuckably Can't Sanders.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
We have a name.
The Unfuckably Can't Sanders. That's it.
The Unfuckably Can't Sanders.
Sarah the Unfuckably Can't Sanders.
All right, there you go. That's
I want to know why he stepped down.
Are you kidding me? He probably had freaking seizures, heart palpitations, hemorrhoids, everything. he was in perfect health before he took this job.
You know, working for someone who undermines you at every turn has to be freaking difficult.
That's
really
a hard job.
I mean,
that's a really hard job. Let's but normally say, the president is behind, or the press secretary can speak with, you know, knowledge. That he can't in this situation. Well, he's throwing shit out constantly left and right that makes no sense. And he's like, he didn't mean that. And then he backs up on himself.
Right.
And puts himself in a fucking corner.
Hello. I mean, I will tell you that man made news for more weeks than I can count. And every comment that came out of his mouth, I mean, you would see reporters sitting in that press room like, did he just say that?
But you know,
did I just hear that?
Right. And I learned something from him because I was always under the impression that Hitler stooped to the level of using chemical weapons on his own citizens. But but according to Sean Spicer, that never happened. So I learned so much from this man.
Fuck him.
Fucking dumbass.
Yeah, I'm telling
Go
you.
Go back to being the Easter Bunny. You're better at that.
That was so also, creepy seeing him.
That
read
was
to
the
children.
Most awkward Easter Bunny I have ever seen in my life.
When he said the kids, look at you. You got big rabbit ears. Like, okay, well, that kid's fucking going to be self-conscious. Just for the rest of his life.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Poor
but
thing.
You know what I'm really going to miss?
What?
Melissa McCarthy. Like, they have to. I hope that they just, like, keep her in the bushes outside the.
With a little sign.
I know, with a little sign or something, because she was fucking brilliant.
They need to do, like, a montage of her on her mobile freaking podium on her way. He's from New York, isn't he?
I believe so.
So they need to do, like, a little mobile montage of her. Of Sean Spicer on his podium driving back from D.C. to his hometown in New York.
That would be
freaking
epic.
That's what they need to do. Setting him off.
That would be epic. And speaking of, you know, Washington, D.C. and all that good stuff, I was reading a report
good
today
stuff.
By the BBC that reported that as of July 23rd, leaders of both parties in the U.S. Congress have agreed on legislation that would allow sanctions or fresh sanctions to punish Russia for their alleged election meddling. And then I said to myself, wait a minute, this is not alleged. At this point, it's already been proven that they meddled in our elections, but I'll let that one slide. It says here in the report that the new legislation would also sharply limit our idiot-in-chief's ability to lift any sanctions against Russia. So that idiot-in-chief part I put in there.
Obviously. Yeah. We knew that, Tommy.
So here's basically what the report says. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then you guys can chime in on it if you want. Mr. Trump's time in office has been dogged by claims that Russia had tried to influence last year's U.S. election. Moscow has denied any wrongdoing by several U.S. Investigations. But there are several U.S. investigations looking into anyone in the Trump campaign that colluded with Russian officials. Correspondents say that the bipartisan agreement indicates determination in Congress to maintain a firm line against Russia, whatever Mr. Trump's views. So it doesn't matter what he thinks, they're still going to move forward with it. The president could veto the bill because he still needs to sign this bill before it becomes law. But in doing so, he would feel more suspicion that he is too supportive of the Kremlin, which is basically what the correspondents say. On the other hand, if he signs it, he would be imposing legislation that is opposed, that basically his administration is opposed to. Senator Ben Cardin, the most senior Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said the agreement was reached after intense negotiations. He goes on to say, and I quote, a nearly united Congress is poised to send President Putin a clear message on behalf of the American people and our allies, and we need President Trump to help us deliver that message.
Well, thank God.
About
thank
time.
God, because I don't care. You know, I saw something the other day where they were polling Trump supporters, and Trump supporters were saying that they think Russia is our ally, that they like Russia, and that they like the way that Putin has structured his country. This is fucking insane. He's a masochist. He kills people that go against him. He's a horrible human being. He literally should not be in power, and you have President Trump meeting with him. And if you look at our previous presidents, they were all like, this is an awkward conversation. We're having a conversation because we have to have a conversation. They were like fucking buddy-buddy.
Yeah, and he's because running Putin, a totalitarian nation.
Well, Putin is, I will give him the credit that he is a very smart man, and he knows that Trump is not. Not in this venue. And he will systematically tear that man down.
Of course he will. He will undermine Trump's ability to be a president of what is perceived to be one of the world's freest of nations, you know, one of the superpowers. He's going to literally sink our country. He's already started doing it. It's already happening. When you look at our standing around the world, it is completely, just utterly destroyed.
I mean, Chris can speak to this, but other nations are coming together, not against the United States, but saying we need to stand together because they won't stand with
well,
us.
Well, what it is they're moving on. They're not sitting back. Like, there's only so much that, like, backpedaling they can do, or mm-hmm. like put their hazards on and wait in the breakdown lane for America to catch up. No, they're like, okay, we've tried. They put their brakes on. We have to keep going. Like, mm-hmm. we have to keep working on it. We can, no, like Angela Merkel said, we no longer can rely on the U.S. by itself. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't alone rely on the United States anymore. So we have to keep going with our own agendas, working on things that we need to do to better our country, better our citizens, better our health cares, better all relations with other nations, but move on and not have the U.S. hold us back.
Right. And I mean, really, I heard today, and I can't quote it, it was on NPR, but it's not about, you know, bipartisan this or that, or Republicans and Democrats this or that. It's about future versus past. And he's just holding us in a holding pattern when we really need to move forward into the future, because things are changing. The world is changing, both economically and environmentally, and then just general human rights are changing, and we need to be aware of that and move forward. And right now, America isn't kind of in a holding pattern.
Well, that's against everything that you just said is against what Trump ran on. He ran on a nationalistic political campaign. So that's nationalism. These are people that are only thinking, like he said, America first. They're not thinking about progressing with the rest of the world. They're not thinking about being alongside our allies. This is just a nationalistic platform that they're on, where it's just America, 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 going toward, like, back to Woodrow Wilson, back in toward the beginning of the First World War. Isolationism is what Trump and some of his supporters have pushed us through. They want to isolate us from our allies. They don't want to just say, fuck you, immediately, but they want to isolate and back away from all these foreign affairs.
It just sucks to me, you know, because here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thanks, babes. So, you know, what I see from this, for example, this particular a piece of legislation, is that finally we're not letting this scandal cripple our ability to continue to make laws regardless of an investigation that's going on, or taking care of an agenda that needs to be handled. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Right.
If, you know, we've already said, multiple sources have already confirmed that the meddling that took place in the election is true. It happened. We need to take action. We need to prevent. We have another election coming up in another year.
Right.
2018 is right around the corner.
And what's to stop them from doing what they just
did? Exactly. And what's to say that they're not going to try again in 2020 when we have our next presidential race? You know, we cannot allow this president to continue to divert and to cause distraction to prevent Congress from moving forward and passing legislation that is key in protecting the United States of America. Here he is going out on the campaign trail and going out on TV and saying, all I'm doing is trying to protect the United States of America. But you're not doing that because you're not allowing us to go after those people that hurt us.
No, whatever he says is incorrect, because what he's actually doing is protecting his interests.
Right. Of course.
He's protecting everything that he wants to see done in Russia.
Right.
His Trump towers, his casinos, whatever the hell he wants to put over there.
And, you know, to add to
not
this,
to mention the massive oil industry.
Oh, of course. Rex Tillerson is, you know, has a hand in making sure that, you know, he's under the radar about it. But I'm sure that he's trying to help his people over at Mobil try to get those sanctions lifted so that, you know, his previous company can make millions. And I'm sure he'll get a payout out of that.
The best thing that Trump can do allegedly for his presidency is sign this. Sign this. Show some sort of transparency. Like, that's the only, really the only thing he has left to possibly salvage a completely failed. I'm not going there yet, but I'm saying the only thing that he can do to possibly salvage his destroyed, crippled, sinking cabinet and presidency.
The whole ship is going down.
Yeah, and the only thing he can literally do to fill these fucking massive gaping holes is to sign this. Show some transparency.
That ship is going to sink faster than the Titanic did. Yep. It took the Titanic, 2 hours to go all the way down?
Just about.
He's going down in a millisecond. I mean, this thing is just crazy.
I mean, literally the world and most of the, I would like to think most of the United States are like Angela Merkel right now, just hard ass rolling their eyes. Like, what
love that
the
woman.
Fuck?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to each his own, she doesn't support gay marriage, but again, we've already discussed this. She allowed that she didn't impede that voting to go through. So it speaks very highly of her ability to be able to stay true to who she is, but not impede anyone else's thoughts or what they believe in.
And serve the German forward. People as a whole.
Exactly. So, you know, hey. So I'm excited to see how this progresses. I'll stay on top of it and see if anything comes out of it, whether or not he'll sign the legislation. So, well, I guess we'll have to just stick a pin on that and come back to it.
Mm-hmm. Naturally. I'm sure there'll be much more coming soon.
So what else do we have, boys?
I'm sure much more coming soon. Much Always more, yes, much yes, more indeed. Coming soon.
Oh, especially every Monday.
Please stand by.
Standing by. So, Christopher.
You want me to take over here?
I do.
All right. I'm actually going to jump to my second story because this woman kind of slipped through the cracks. Like, we've talked about the openly gay prime minister of Luxembourg. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the openly gay prime minister of Ireland, newly elected. But Serbia, the nation of Serbia, also has an openly gay prime minister. But she also says her sexuality has never been an issue. Her name is Ms. Brnabic. She was appointed by the country's prime minister. Excuse me. She was appointed as the country's prime minister by Serbia's conservative president, Aleksandar Vučić, making her one of, like I said, one of the three leaders around the world that is openly gay. The prime minister insisted, "I've been openly gay throughout my life and I've never had a problem in Syria. I would like to think that
Serbia,
I said Syria, excuse me, thank you. I would like to think that Serbia is not that conservative or homophobic or xenophobic for that matter." She also continued to say that there's certainly room to improve and change, and there's certainly still people who think that it's not okay, that this is not part of our tradition and part of our accepted values, but I do think that they are a minority. A loud minority, granted, but still a minority. Her appointment was still met with scathing attacks from misogynists, homophobes, as well as those who accuse her of just being a puppet for the president, Vučić. There are also those who accuse Vučić of choosing Brnabic simply to demonstrate that Serbia is progressive because they are trying to get into the European Union.
There's a prime minister and a president?
Correct. Just like we talked mm-hmm. in the prime minister, the president's the head of the state, and the prime minister is the one who's in charge of the leading political party.
Okay.
So the president is Vučić, and Brnabic is the leader of the conservative party right now. She was appointed to be in charge of the leading political party. But I do want to point out that Brnabic is no activist, though. Last year, she refused to lend her support to a proposal to push for legalizing same-sex partnership in Serbia.
Well, girl, you need to get on the program.
Mm-hmm. Even Merkel did it.
How can you
but
be...
she's also leading her... But that's the thing. I have a feeling you're going to... Like, how can you be like gay and be against this?
No, I didn't
mean to put words in
your mouth. I was going to say, how can you be openly gay,
mm-hmm.
and visibly gay?
Right.
And go against your community.
Right.
Well, like, how do you do that?
Well, the only thing I can think of is just like what we talked about when Patrick Dunn was on, about what Angela Merkel was doing. She's the leader of the Christian Conservative Party.
Yeah, but she voted no. Yes, we know that. But
right.
She also sparked the fire that made that all happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This woman, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name because you're trying and it's interesting.
It's a difficult... B-R-N-A. That's hard.
Brnabic.
You might as well just sit in the closet. You might as well just shut your mouth and sit in the closet because what are you doing for the community?
It's probably...
Nothing. What you're doing for the community is giving everybody that's on the opposite side the right to say everything that we're fighting against.
And,
right.
you know,
right.
and I'm not defending her, but, you know, you got to remember that she is doing a job. She's not an activist.
Right. She's,
do you know what I'm saying?
She's running the conservative party.
So you're doing a job. Then why the hell do you have to even bring up the fact that you're gay? If
well,
you're
that's
not,
a good point.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Good point.
Why?
Because clearly she puts herself with this conservative party. She's running the conservative party, so she has incredibly conservative views if she's the leader of the conservative party. But that's a great point. Why
well,
even
I mean,
put out
but,
there that you're gay if you're not going to fight for that?
But when I
because,
think about it...
Because that statement alone, putting it out there, is a huge statement, and it's almost like, okay, you know, here's us at this level being visible. And like we continually say, we need to get more homosexuals, more LGBT community members into government so that our voices are heard. Mm. We have one and our voices aren't heard. Well, and she's now literally saying, I'm gay and I'm not giving, you know, I'm not being the voice that you want me to be.
We don't have one. She's not from this country.
No, I know.
She's speaking on behalf of the Serbians.
Right, yeah. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, sorry. So I mean, you know, if this gets to you, Miss, what is it?
Brnabich.
If this gets to you, you know, you should really think about what you're doing, what you stand for, and, you know, think about how impactful you can really truly be to your brothers and sisters in the community and how you can truly help that country move into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. Because what did you say? She didn't vote for...
She refused to lend her support for a proposition to push for the legalization of same-sex, not marriage, partnership.
Okay.
So I don't know the exact terms for that proposed amendment to what would be their constitution.
Right.
But all I know is that she would not lend her support for it. So she was thinking party over sexuality and who she really is.
Well, we've seen that over and over again too.
Correct. Like, I mean, we see that here
Obama
all the time.
Flipped.
Right.
Hillary flipped.
Right.
You know, a lot of people flipped as times change.
I flipped today.
Ugh. People will change. but the point is, I guess the real point is why even have this article written? Why come out globally as gay if you're then saying, hey, I'm actually not the voice for you guys?
Right. Well, I do want to point out that this article was not her coming out. She's been openly gay, but it was saying that her sexuality has never been an issue, but they did add, as I'm reading the article, I'm like, oh, this woman slipped through the cracks. We're talking about these openly gay politicians across the globe that are, you know, out there, especially the, now we found out, three prime ministers, but just the fact that she's just known as, she's no activist. Like, yeah, she's openly gay, but she's not going out there openly fighting for equality.
But even
that we know of right now, this is what I'm learning about her.
But even the Prime Minister of Ireland, he's part of a Conservative Party as well, mm-hmm. and he's not really focusing on the LGBT community much, rather than just his work with his party.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying here is not that you have to be focused on the LGBTQ community. That is your one thing that you're focused on, but if you are a part of a Conservative Party and you are a homosexual male or female or transgender or whatever you may be, you need to help create and change the rhetoric that they've been living with and moving forward with for so long. Because that, no matter what conversation comes up, you have the opportunity to change the rhetoric or at least have that first conversation. Mm-hmm. And so whether you're conservative or liberal, it doesn't matter. If you're a conservative out politician, you have the opportunity to help communities everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You have the opportunity. Absolutely. And I would hope that they would, you know, take it up and do something good with it.
So we'll be keeping our eyes on that.
So we...
Another pin on that one. Let's
pin that one up to the board. Do we want to go into another story or take our break? Because we do have a guest coming on, the amazing Nick G from the Dependent Independent podcast. Oh my God, I've been practicing that. That's a tongue twister. It is.
Mm-hmm.
For hours.
Dependent Independent podcast.
Yes.
Dependent Independent podcast.
All right, so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Very good boy. Mm. Very good. I mean, he's so good with languages. I hate him. I really try.
All
right, so do we want to go on break or do we want to cover one more story and then go on break?
Well, I don't care.
This is a good story, Trish. I want to hear about this.
Which one?
Your first story.
Right.
So let's go into that. And
is that not the one you wanted to talk about first?
No, I don't really care.
Remember, we are live, so
pick
one quick.
I feel like that's gonna go for too long. So let's just talk about Grayson Chance. He came out as gay.
Who's this?
I was just about to say, who's that?
So Grayson Chance was a singer that was found and signed by, of course, my girl.
Ellen
UnicornBooty.com?
No, Ellen. He was found and signed by Ellen, and he recently came out as gay. I think there was the story I told last week.
I remember this kid. He's actually really good.
Was he the one who played guitar and sings?
I don't know if he plays guitar, but he is really talented. And you can get his stuff on iTunes. It's really amazing. Again, his name is Grayson Chance, and that's G-R-E-Y-S-O-N, Chance. But so he basically came out and he was just like, you know, I wasn't going to come out and do this. I've known since I was, whatever, I think he said 12, that I was gay. And, but it was private to him. And it was, you know, something that he wasn't ready to share with the world. And everybody needs to take their own time to come out. You can't just like, oh, I know I'm gay, I'm going to come out. It's a huge, huge process to like come to terms with and then be comfortable with. And then, you know, once you're out, you're out.
Right.
So he finally did come out, and mad props to you. Thank you so much for coming out, because like I always say, gay visibility. Mm-hmm. We need, and like people with platforms like this, it's so important that we are seeing these pop stars and these politicians, everybody coming out as gay, because
athletes.
Yeah.
So he is 19 years old now, right?
I think that's what it was.
So he's 19 years old. He got a record deal or signed by Ellen DeGeneres at age 12. I mean, the talent that you have to have. This kid is very talented. So if you guys check him out, just go on iTunes or even go on YouTube and look at a couple of videos. I'm sure there's a lot posted on him. But it's an amazing thing to see that, you know, such young faces are coming out at such a young age and really providing some sort of light for our younger folks that are coming up today.
I am sure there are kids all around the nation that are gay that listen to his music. And he came out, and these kids are probably, that aren't out or afraid of who they are probably empowered. Mm-hmm. He doesn't realize what his post on Instagram did. I don't think he's going to realize it for a while. Mm-hmm. He's going to probably get messages and emails and letters, but he's probably going to save people's lives.
That's an unsung hero right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Thank
you. Beautiful story. Thank you for sharing.
Claps for Grayson.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. Well, not quick, but we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to have Nick G from Dependent, independent podcast, join us here on the show.
You made it 32 minutes, Tom. That's okay. That's good. I'm proud of you.
The Dependent, independent podcast. I'm fucking rocking that shit.
You are. I'm proud of you.
All right. Well, here's Invisible. We'll be right back.
try to paint the picture clear. You're the one that I want near. I wanna hear you make that sound when the love we found. I wanna turn you upside down till we hit the ground. I wanna hear you scream my name. It won't be the same.
Right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From the break, that was Invisible by Camilla North featuring Jens East, Loud by Davis Mallory, a previous guest of ours. And for those of you listening to our live broadcast, that was Gay Talk 2.0's Deep House Anthem, mixed by yours truly. Thank you very much. And now to our guest, ladies and gentlemen, the host of the Dependent Independent Podcast. Welcome to the show, Nick G.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing wonderful. We've had quite the interesting first half of the show. We were discussing a lot of political stuff that's going on in the news right now. And other than that, we are doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You guys are wicked smart, man. I was listening to that first part of the show. Holy cow, man.
That's jeez. Only for appearances. No, no. We try to do our best to do some research and get together and
then cursive happens. Cursive, and we can't even
we
speak.
Didn't talk about Jesus today, though. We left religion aside today.
But I have that for later.
That's
so don't
all right.
Worry.
I have a follow-up story with yours, so we're good to go.
So if you're wondering what cursive is, we do cocktails. During every episode, we have a signature cocktail. And at some point throughout the broadcast, we start mingling our words, and we call it cursive.
So when someone says, sir, you're slurring your words, you respond, it's speaking in cursive, and it's fucking elegant.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Well, I finished mine during the first part of the show, so
I'll get another.
Can't you?
Well, again, thank you for joining us. We're super excited to have you because you are a fellow podcaster as well.
Thank you.
You have your show, the Dependent Independent Podcast, and so mm-hmm. now we're going to talk about that a little bit. Tell us about your show.
But first, right. hold on. Before you tell us about your
What's
show,
up,
I do want to say that we have connected with Nick G because of Jess Bronis and because of the Idiots Radio Show.
And Schmo the Intern.
And Schmo the Intern, of course, Schmo.
Your husband.
My wife, yeah, I know.
Schmo, we're wearing your shirts right now.
Yes, we are.
Well, Tom and I are. Trish was like, fuck her!
I just think it's important to note that we're building a community. And on that note, Nick G., tell me about the podcast.
Well, that's what my whole show's about, right? It's about making connections. Probably about, I don't know, probably 3 years ago. I studied art in school. I was an artist. I really enjoyed expressing myself through, I did sculpting, design, painting, whatever. And then real life kicks in where you have to get a job and you graduate college with an art degree and they shake your hand and say, you're never going to make any money. So I got a job. Long story short, I met my wife in college and had to pick a line of work that actually paid the bills. But in doing so, I built a family. I got a house, car, kids, the whole deal. But I was kind of hitting in my late 30s. That kind of is weird. Most guys hit their midlife crisis like in their, I don't know, like 50s, right? Halfway through. But around 38, I was in this kind of rut where I was forgetting who I was. And I was simply made all these rules because it was the only way for me to cope with certain things. Like I had to be a dad all the time. I had to do this. I had to do that. And I was kind of forgetting myself. So I was working with a close friend of mine doing video and radio production for his business because I studied that in school as well. And it was a great way to let loose on top of my career and being a dad and a husband. And I decided, being a podcast listener for like 8 years, I still have my old like iPod 2 upstairs. Right. I would listen to podcasts on the way to work because my commute was like an hour and 15 minutes. And I thought, geez, I used to do that when I was a kid, record stuff, videotape stuff. And I have all this equipment because I'm doing it for a friend of mine. Why don't I start my own show? So I decided to ask my friend, hey, listen, dude, before we start working on your business, do you mind giving me like a half hour before we start? And I want to do a podcast. And he said, what the hell's a podcast? My friend Dewey never listened to a podcast before in his life. I'm like, dude, just be yourself. You always say I tell good stories. Just let's have a show. So I ended up going out and investing in, I don't know if you guys bought this, The Idiot's Guide to Podcasting. It's a great book.
I did not. So, I went on, what was it?
YouTube.
I learned how to do all of this on YouTube. It's amazing.
Yeah, my father was always a tech guy. So my father was the guy that spent $600 on a one CD player. Like only plays one CD. So my father, when we were kids, my father always had tech around the house. So I was always getting everything secondhand. So the tech came real easy to me. It was just understanding, again, like the rules, like, the book I read said, all right, don't go more than 30 minutes and don't get more than two topics or have at least two or three topics to talk about, which was insane, by the way. Who the hell can talk through three topics in 30 minutes? So if you listen,
it's like, clearly we never read guys that book.
Yeah, no, like we can't even stay to an hour and a half. Like, yeah. And so people still listen.
We're like, we're under 2 hours. That's not bad.
But I made, again, all these rules. But as I started doing it, I started realizing that it wasn't just that, because I had no fans. No one knows who you are the first show you put out. You're not really talking to anybody. And then you start building a community where you start maybe sharing a link on Facebook. And then you realize people in the community know you and want to talk to you. And then you have them on the show. And then as I started connecting with people on Twitter and other podcasters, I had them on a show. And like tonight, I'm actually going to have someone after we're done with this show. I'm recording with someone. A woman named Ashley Mullins and I both follow another podcast. And we're going to do a podcast. So I was at a time before I started doing this where I made a lot of rules that I can't make friends, right? I have to be a dad. I'll make friends when my kids are out of school. My daughter's a dancer, which where my kids, my wife and my daughter are this week at the out in Hershey at a dance competition, which is really great. I just felt that the only friends I had were really the dads that are of the dancing dads. I don't know if you guys know that I dance. I got to give you the link to the video. I'm awesome. I'm a great dancer.
I heard about it on your show, but I've not awesome. Seen the link. So please
I'll send you. I think it's on my YouTube page. So I just, as I went through this journey and started these podcasts, I realized you actually have to make an effort to connect with people. It was really easy when you were younger because you either made friends when you worked or you made friends doing anything. It was just easier as a kid. But in my type of work, I'm in human resources. I don't really make good friends at work. It's not really part of It's not really something that I do. I can't have friends at work. So again, all these rules that led me up to starting this podcast, and I realized, fuck the rules, man. Like, why do I have to do this? And eventually it just came into this snowball where every week I'm able to either share my stories with people that I've never met before, that eventually I'll connect with and have on the show, because that's what it's all about. I don't really spend a lot of time having people. There's a lot of podcasters out there that get like, you know, highly influential entrepreneurs or, you know, people that may increase their listenership. But me, I might bring somebody that's never been on the microphone before, ever. And I get them on the show and make them comfortable in an hour to be able to talk to them about something that they like or something I like.
That's a beautiful thing.
And I love the fact, thanks. And I love the fact my show, no show is ever the same. It's never, the only thing that's the same is me. It's just me. And it's become an unbelievable, it's one, I've never done anything this long before. I've tried so many things in my life. I've never done something this long. You know, I surfed for a year, skateboarded for a half a year, right? I think I took up model building for, you know, 4 months.
Cut out my gluten for 2 weeks. You know.
Anything like that. But this is the one thing that I'm committed. It's a 200 episode podcast. So I have to get to 200.
So let me ask you about that. So I see the sign because we're Skyping and we're able to see you. There's a sign right behind you that says a 200 episode podcast.
Oh, and it lights up.
And hey!
It
lights up.
All right. So
was my gift from my sister-in-law. That's great.
What happens when you hit 200?
Well,
I said it
now that you're asking me. I've always wanted to write. I've written a lot. I've journaled a lot. This is kind of a vocal journal. It's not just a journey. It's just me. I get to look back. I don't listen to my shows, but I'll be able to go back, listen to 8 years worth of content and be able to figure out where I was here, where I was there. I think I'm going to write a book. I'll have enough. I have an interesting story to tell. And I think even using podcasting as a vehicle to be able to tell that story, I'll have all this research, hours and hours and hours of audio to be able to pull from. So anyone who is on my show simply contributes to that journey, which is pretty sweet.
And to your story.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It. So this is right here. This is happening right here.
Yeah.
On the interwebs, Facebook, Instagram, everything I'm posting.
Well, then I'll expect
we might end
some
up in that book.
And I'll expect some compensation if I'm in
royalties.
That book. Because Gay Talk credit card don't pay.
You can do.
I'll tell you about it.
So yeah, you know, it's very similar for us as well. I mean, when we started this endeavor, for us, it was just of getting together because we do that often anyway. We just talk bull and I said, you know what? Why don't we throw mics on this, throw it online, and see what happens? And it became this amazing, huge thing that we absolutely enjoy doing every Monday. And we come, we sit down, we talk about our stories, what we're going to talk about. We try not to script the show. I mean, the only thing scripted is the beginning, the opening, and the ending, just so that people know how to get to us. But for the most part, everything is just go.
Yeah, we just have a layout, but like you said, we just sit down, we have a couple cocktails. We let the cursive flow, and we become fucking elegant.
And it has been an amazing ride for us, so I can seriously relate and understand why you appreciate it so much. Because for us, it has opened many doors. We have met many amazing people over at Wildfire Radio. We've met Jess Brannis. You know, we've had amazing conversations. We're having one right now with Nick G from the Independent Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had guests on our show like Melissa Etheridge. And
two times.
You look at, you know, amazing podcasters like Nick. Sorry. God. Dan Savage. Thank you. And see what happens when you drink? Don't drink, boys. Do drink. And then you have, you know, we've had such amazing connections, even with our local community or the theater community or people outside of just in general, people who just want to sit with us and give us a bit of their time. And we soak that up and just really enjoy it.
Like Brandon Salerno of Flying High with Charlie, just reaching out to those individuals, you know, whether they're actors, artists such as yourself, directors, musicians. It's so great to reach out to those different branches of the community that all have the common goal to just bring everyone together. Like you just want to get the conversation going and start connections. And that's what's the beautiful thing about this endeavor. As Tom would say.
You hated the fact that I use that word so much, but
I'm
it's such
over
an amazing
it
word.
It is.
But now my question. So when you decide to talk about something or talk with someone, what is that process like? How do you go about choosing what you're going to talk about and who you're going to talk to?
Because most of your stuff is themed, right?
Well, it's actually ironic how it happens because I think when I started this, it's a 200 episode podcast, so I would do a show every other week because in my life I was like, man, it's really hard to pin people down to spend an hour, you know? And at the time I was working with my friend Dewey and he was busy and I had family obligations, I had work obligations. But then I started putting out these mini-sodes, which were these kind of halvesy-sodes that way I was putting content out. And in this process, you start listening to other people and they give you tips and you go on YouTube and you figure out how to build content and build branding. I have logos and shit and studios and all this. I never would have thought of doing this. This is actually something I put a proposal for someone else to pay me to do for them. That fell through. So I built my own studio. So there you go. I did all the research. Wow. But in regards to the show, It depends. Like it, I mean, there's people that I think art is captured in real time. So conversations are captured in real time. You don't rehearse a conversation, so they just happen. So sometimes I might not know what I want to talk about till 3 days before. It depends. Like the one that I'm doing tonight is it required some research. So we had to watch a movie. I had to watch a movie I hadn't seen in a while, educate myself. I think I'm going to put on some formal attire for that. I was trying to get like the movie was made in the 1950s. My wife was like, should wear like an ascot or something, but I don't know if I have any scarves in the house because that would be fun because we recorded on YouTube. But no, it really depends. Like Nick, you want to be on my show? I have no fucking idea what we'll talk about, but we'll pick something that's opportune and is relevant to you. And sometimes it might happen in the news. I mean, I've done things just related to holidays. My wife and I have done Mother's Day episodes where we had my wife and I and another couple, and we simply talked. It was called The Price of Entry, and they talked about childbirth, graphic childbirth. Let's talk about pregnancy and childbirth. Oh, while my friend and I drank here, they went off. One talked about vaginal birth. The other one talked about cesareans.
Did you get to tub birth?
No. I've seen that. That is some.
I hear the afterbirth floats.
That is some weird stuff, man. That is some weird stuff, man. No, I prefer a hospital. That's the way to go.
Can I just say that I'm a little sad that your wife is away because I've heard her on so many of your podcasts, and I really kind of wanted to see her and meet her.
I'm sorry. No, she's last time I talked to her, she's having a wine and reading her book at the pool at some fancy lodge in Hershey. So she's enjoying herself.
So she's in Hershey enjoying herself, and you're literally at home talking to three gay boys.
That's fine. I told you before I'd have an affair, so there you go.
Well, we're saying you're kind of cute.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you. It's the shaved head. So
I think that's what
so that's pretty much where I look in that's the pressure I would put on myself if I actually thought that far ahead. Like, it's always interesting how people record a show and then wait 3 weeks to put it out. It's so old 3 weeks from now. Right? Yep. The conversation's so old. You do the ultimate.
We would fail. We would be the oldest news possible.
Because literally, like, we cover whatever happened this past week is what we're talking about.
Especially looking on, you know, Mondays. Like, we're sitting down, we're like, okay, Monday, last minute, new stories. We want the most up-to-date, especially now that we're doing live stuff. So, we really want it there.
And, you know, before we had control, like, for example, when we started doing the live broadcast, it took away an element for us to be able to stop the show whenever we wanted, take a half-hour break, and come back and finish recording the other half and putting it out there. Now we have to boom, 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 go. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, we've worked out a system and it works now, but it's like, it's intense for us.
Oh, I got nervous. I'm more nervous. I mean, have you have any idea? I perspire when I get anxious. I've sweated through this year. I'm just kind of holding my arms like this. So that way you don't see me like that.
That's why I wear black. I
paid Chris, I paid $35 for a sweatproof shirt that I wear. So I saw an ad on Facebook that I wear underneath my dress shirts. They so it depends those? On.
Yeah, they do. They're undershirts that you could wear.
Oh, that's a good point because my jerseys are sweatproof. Like, you don't see it, but I can smell it.
Like, no, this is like a wicking, like, it actually feels like a Kevlar vest. I mean, this is some thick shit. They put aluminum, Zycate, whatever it is, underneath your arms that keep you from perspiring.
So it fights off perspiration and bullets?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
No, that's
good to know. Hey, we're in New Haven. Connecticut, so those are important questions.
That was It was a $35 T-shirt, so yeah.
Better deflect fucking bullets.
$35.
So you built your own studio. Right.
Yeah, I'm a DIY guy. My son, that's one thing that was really cool. Like, this is something I don't just do on my own. Like, my kids are involved. My daughter's been on my show. I think it was episode 13. It's the only like G-rated non-explicit show I have where I wanted to talk about passion. My daughter is amazing when she's on stage. So I wanted to be able to share that with the world. So that was, she was nine at the time. So we recorded that. My son's been on the show, but he's terrible. My son is awful. He was in this studio and I was like pulling teeth. So yeah. I could tell my daughter's more like me. And my wife's been on the show as many times. Remember before I felt like I was on an island because I was making all these rules about not being able to, you know, I'll make friends later. But the fact that my wife is there to share this journey with me and she promotes me and the live show we did where Jess was on in January of this year wouldn't have happened without her because she ordered food and she told me the, you know, the thing smart And she was awesome. My wife's great. Now, mind you, sometimes this cuts into stuff that we need to do. It's not like I can, you know, that's what's so great about now. I could do this podcast. I could do six podcasts in the next 4 days with no interruptions. But I guess that's this whole, I'll know when I finish all this that it was work, because I can go back and know, man, all this stuff was happening right now. And I found time to do that hour, or I found time to do that half hour, or I actually went out and built that studio in that week that I had downtime.
Well, and what's crazy too is it's not just the hour, because there's so much in between, like just our email exchanges back and forth, trying to figure out how we can make it work, what we're going to do, when we're going to do it. I mean, there's like a whole element to podcasting. This is literally like a third job for me.
And, for all of us.
Except yeah. No pay.
No.
No pay. No,
I haven't been able to do that yet. That's one thing. And that's what people ask me, you know, I've been asked about ads and promotions things. I like just paying it forward. Jess Brandis and I, we're already talking about doing another live show in Jersey. There, I'm a big proponent of the breweries in town. My 50th was at a local brewery called Tomfoolery's, and some friends of ours, we actually did a show, I think episode 60, out of a brewery called Vinyl. Jess and I, we were talking, we're meeting up on Thursday to talk through doing a live show at their grand opening, which would be great. Learning from my mistakes the first time, and we already have a topic, which is going to be topical for everybody, anybody who wants to be on the microphone. But it's going to be a really good time. And yeah, this thing, I have no idea. I love the fact 2 years from now, this can be absolutely different. This could be all different. This could be gone. I could be in a professional studio. Who knows? But the fact that it all started with me going, hey, Dewey, can you give me a half hour, man? What do you want to talk about? I don't know, man. Talk about your wife and I don't know, talk about your weekend. I'm going to tell that story about that thing I did. Yeah, you cool, great, awesome. And that's it. And that's it. And then I have a speaking gig. There's a local podcast convention called the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Convention out of Swedesboro, New Jersey in September. It's my last year. Nick, absolutely terrified to go. I mean, I went there. I was so intimidated because I thought, oh, podcasts are just people, you know, sharing their views.
Yeah.
And there were people like, you know, make six-figure salaries doing podcasting. And I was so intimidated. But I'm like, screw it. After a year, I'm like, what are you talking about? I talk at work. I train people. I can easily speak. So I'll have 8 minutes, a presentation to do with this first time I can speak, which is absolutely not, it's absolutely within my element. But it's a comfort zone that I've never done before. But it gives me an opportunity to extend and pay it forward all the stuff I've learned doing this to new podcasters. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I stop and look at this.
You know what's crazy to me is I think, you know, for the longest time I've wanted to be more of an activist in the LGBTQ community and just be more involved and get my voice out there and help people that need just to hear a voice. And so we started this and I'm sitting here like, okay, this is fun. This is great. But now my biggest treasure that I take away from this show, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but is those emails or those messages that we get from people that just say something along the lines of, I don't have a community where I live, and every week I hear your show, and it gives me a sense of community, safety, and security. And that, to me, is the world. It's like so, it's healing.
And it's humbling.
It's amazing, and it's crazy because there are so many people that I've always been a podcast listener ever since I could listen to podcasts, and it's just I connected with Dan Savage at such a young age because I knew he was a gay guy, and he had this podcast and this, you know, he was also a writer and he had all this stuff going for him, and I just aligned myself with him, and he, for some, I found so much security in him. And if I can reach out and give that to people, it makes me feel so much better. Because as you say, your tagline, it's a podcast about making connections, looking back while moving forward. And if I, like we talk all the time, we're looking back on our lives and the baggage that we carry with us, it's not always easy, but it's our treasure and it's ours to hold. And we can only move forward by looking at that and bringing it to people and experiencing what we don't want to experience again so we understand it a little bit better. And I think that's what I love so much about your show, is because that's what you're doing. You're sharing your life story with people from all walks of life, and you're giving that to people. You're allowing them to be okay with their baggage, with their past, and they can move on from it, hopefully.
And Lord, let me tell you, our baggage is big. It's like a collection of like Louis Vuitton.
It's, I'm trying to be emotional and like positive.
I know. No, I feel.
No, I'm just feeling you. Things nice.
I'm feeling you right here, Nick. My thing was I never expected that. Like I thought I'd make. I think when I first put my show out, it was a comedic podcast. Now I'm going to make people smile and laugh.
That's kind of what.
And
we
then
did.
It became, and then probably one of the hardest shows I did, where I used the show as an outlet. I grew up. If you've listened to my show, my twin sister and I, we lost our mother when we were a kid. Raised by a grandmother and then kind of raised by surrogate parents. And one of my strongest surrogate parents, a gentleman named Ernie Temple, passed away in February of last year. And my best friend, Sean, who I've known since I was six, he knows more about me than he knows me better than anybody, had mentioned one night that, or called me and said, you know, Dad, his father was dying, struggling with cancer. It came back. And he said, you might want to reach out to my dad and say goodbye. And I went and spent a day with my friend's father, Ernie, my dad. And I came home and my wife, she asked me, so how was it? And I didn't say anything. I said, nah, I don't want to talk about it. And I don't usually do that. If you know and listen to my show, you guys. My wife, the dog's going to hear a lot of shit this week because my wife's not around to hear me talk. So I just used this show as an outlet to be able to do that. Now, I don't know if I want to listen to the show again. But I cried a little bit. I shared. I was, you know, there's been times on the show when I've been embarrassed, insecure, all these things that we all feel, the three of you and me, all the, like, it happens from time to time. And it blows me away sometimes. That's what I like about your show too. You guys are honest about what's going on and how you feel about topics, but people use maybe media to mask it. You know, they're someone else. Well, no, the one thing I could tell you, what you hear and listen any given moment is how I felt that moment. And maybe it changed afterwards. After I'm done with the show, I might have a huge wave of insecurity like, ah, shit, that didn't go the way I wanted to. Right. Or, oh, man, that was the best show ever. You know, it's one thing that I get to capture that. And we said before, someone said before about no one can be the best you than you. So if you're yourself, you can be the best you can be. No one's trying to do my show. No one does my show. There's other people that do other people's shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nick, you talked about the podcast you listened to. The podcast I was into was video game reviews and entertainment. And my friend was like, you should do a podcast like that. And I'm like, no. as easy as that will be, that's like everybody else. I can't be like everybody else. Right. I've never been like everybody else. I've been an individual in a group of people. I accept people for who they are. I love the diversity of people. I love the fact I've had old people, young people, kids, confused, confident, no matter what type of people on my podcast. Some have worked out to build into great friendships that I still continue to talk to. Jess, I love her dearly. I'm so appreciative of the relationship I have with her.
I love her too. Like every day. What is it about
She's
that
awesome.
Woman?
She's
I'm
awesome.
In love with her. Like, it's She's crazy.
And it's nuts. But how we can help each other and and what my show means to her that she shared with me this week that I never thought of. So I never expect that. What you said before, Nick, about when people started responding to my show, it was a little bit uncomfortable because, again, I thought I was just being entertaining. And then when I realized it was something bigger than I thought it was going to be, it took a long time to really accept that. Because then suddenly you're like, well, wait, I was able to move somebody by that. Well, should I keep doing that? Should I try to make a show that's more? And I've gone through like these, I recently went through this podcast puberty where I was trying to be something I wasn't. And, you know, asking the prom, the homecoming queen out to prom, it just wasn't working out. And it just kind of went to shit. So I decided that, but the cool thing about it is I have three or four episodes that just chronologically document that whole process, mm-hmm. But I can look back and go, what the hell was I thinking? What was I thinking?
Well, what's crazy is I had stuck on a train for like 5 hours this past week. And I listened to like that entire slew of podcasts in a row. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my, this is crazy. Like, he's just sharing his life with us.
It's a beautiful thing to be able to put something out there and have someone respond to it. And like you said, you know, for me, when we get that first email, oh, you guys, you have no idea how much you guys mean to us and what you're doing. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I respond to this? You know, like you have to really like sit down and say, okay,
yeah,
how do I respond to this person and acknowledge the fact that that's how they feel about our show and express true appreciation in a way that's not going to come through as, cocky or any type of condescending way. But to have people reach out to us and the people that listen to our show and from where they listen, I've said this many times, we have people listening to our shows in countries where it is illegal to be a homosexual, where you can get murdered and killed by your own government for being a homosexual. And it makes us feel that much more responsible for what we put out there and the information that we put forward. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, well, I'm worried that in some of those countries, because they're not large listener bases, but in some of those countries, are we being screened? Like, is the government like just like, oh, what are these bitches talking about?
Oh,
just
in case
we have to get
involved. Especially when we're talking about their government, we're like, fuck her.
We tend to be very, very vocal about, you know, people who go against our community. And we're thank you, by the way, for coming on the show and for being an ally of the community, because not many straight men would feel comfortable sitting in a
I was the first straight man on Jess Brannis's show. So,
And it's funny that, you know, you said, or I find it interesting that, you know, when you first started your show, you wanted to be humorous. You wanted to make people smile. And that's kind of the route that we started. When Gay Talk 2.0 started, we were campy. We were always being outrageous. But then when we realized that not only are we making people laugh, we're making people cry, we're making people angry, we're making people proud, inspired. Like we've been able to hit all these different emotions with people. And like Nick said, we're giving community, what we got from emails, we're giving community to people who feel like they don't have one. And they're also giving more community back to us. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible to be able to, and like the one word I love the most for it is it's really humbling to know that we're hitting all these different emotions for all these different individuals across the globe.
And we can do all of that in like literally 20 minutes.
And
like,
why would it be?
It's a roller coaster.
Why would it be out of the ordinary to have a straight guy on the show? Like, why?
Well, no. Okay, let me explain. Let me elaborate.
Yeah, tell me where that comment. Yeah.
So what happens is
that now I'm going to get in your head.
He's like,
a lot of
bitch.
Straight men tend to sort of kind of have this preconceived notion that, you know, speaking to gay guys or to gay men, period, would mean that someone would think they're also gay, possibly, or that, you know, they might think that we want them in some way, shape, or form, which I'm not denying. But my thing is that, you know, it's not our normal demographic.
No.
So okay. When we have someone come on the show.
Are you our first straight male? I mean, besides, like, my brother.
Scott.
Scott was on the show.
I'm on a short list.
So, you know, we're extremely appreciative because we can get a perspective from you that we normally don't get from our normal average guests because they're also part of our community.
And what also is amazing about
it, too.
And
also the Idiots Radio, too.
Well, and Liz, next week, she's a straight man coming on. Well, she's got a bigger dick than I do, so she's probably listening right now. Hey, Liz.
I think what's really amazing, too, is that, like you said, and, like, I mean, I was texting with Jess, too, the other day, and she was telling me how much of an ally you are. I mean, you, Nick, you're an example for people out there that, in some places, are afraid of the straight male.
You know what, man? I'm in touch with my inner gay, and here's why. So, maybe it's like
up.
I was joking with Nick about this the other day. I was raised by an Italian grandmother, and because I had no real father figure, I was raised by women, like not my mother, but my grandmother, churchgoer, right? I would joke with Nick that what she would do is she was always weird like this. Like she was very. She would have been, oh God, if she was still alive, she would have loved to know that I live in the most Italian town in South Jersey. She would have loved it. But she would say things about minorities and not in a very hateful or scornful way. She'd always whisper. So she'd tell you a story. And I don't know if this may sound in text, Nick, but it sounds better when I say it. She'd say, you know, I was at the grocery store yesterday. I was in line, and there was a man sitting next to me. He was gay, but he was such a nice man. And she'd always whisper, or she would say, you know, I was crossing the street, or I was walking out of the bank, and this man opened the door. He was black, but he was such a nice man. She'd whisper, but then I would stop, and then I'd look around and go, Graham, who are you talking to? There's no one here. What are you doing?
That's a generational thing, by the way.
No, totally.
Yeah, but my grandmother did it.
Yeah,
but people even do that when they're telling
a joke. It's more an ignorant thing than anything. I think, I mean, my father, he was like Archie Bunker. He's like Archie Bunker, that kind of bigot kind of thing. But my grandmother, it was more of a, oh, you're such an old lady. but when I was growing up, I didn't have any dominant male parents. So most of my relationships, a lot of girlfriends, I mean, I'm stereotypical, the guy who had the best friend in high school, you know, that wanted her to fall in love with me. You know what I mean? Like that was my, you know, I always thought, because I don't know, I just seemed to always tap into my nurture side rather than my nature side. It's one thing not that I struggle with my son, but I need to make sure that I do both. But ironically, I'm the one in the relation, my parenting relationship with my wife that really talks more about how they feel, you know, emotional intelligence and, you know, how my son has a bad tryout at baseball. I'm the one sitting down with him going, let's talk it through, buddy. Yeah. Like, let's get through this and figure out what we're going to do. That's one thing I appreciate, having that type of, and I don't know, that's why I, you know.
It must be really interesting too, though, because if you were raised by, like you say, women or your grandmother, you're raising your son and you have to have, not that you can't have these masculine talks with him, but they are more considered socially masculine talks to then like, how do you create that environment where you've come from this like, a feminine upbringing, but you want to, I don't know.
Oh,
do you know
Nick,
what
though,
I'm trying to say?
No, I know, but then I don't want to create rules around it that then, oh, I have to be the chummy. My son's going to find those influences in his life just like I did.
Right.
You know, I got where I am just by simply taking advantage of those people that were willing to give me their time and offer me advice and listen to my problems. And my son's going to find those things. I love the fact that I'm his dad, but when he's on the baseball field or there's an authority figure, I don't jump in. He's got to get used to dealing with other authority figures, just like I do. I have bosses at work. He's got to know all that stuff. So that's, I like that. Does it take a village to raise a kid? Like,
sure, that's, it does. Yeah, all right, exactly. One thing I appreciate that you said earlier when you were describing the fact that your daughter's really good in the podcast and that your wife participates a lot in the podcast, but your son is completely horrible at it.
He's just awful. No, he lost his audition. He failed miserably.
You know, that's to be appreciated, because in a world that we live in today and where everyone gets a trophy just for trying out, you literally just look at your son and say, you're not good at this. Find something else to do.
No, I'm never going to ask him on the show again.
But that is one of the best things that you could ever do for a youngster, to let them know that you failed and now you have to figure out something else.
This world
that we live in today where everyone gets a trophy, even if you don't do what you're supposed to do, is beyond me, because I grew up in that time frame where you failed. If someone didn't like what you did, sorry, bud, you don't cut it.
Yeah, but I'd rather get that than, you know what it's like to feels like to get the most spirited award. Like when I got them, like they give all these trophies and then someone's like, and the most spirited award goes to Chris Mattoon, and I'm like, that pretty much means I fucking suck, but I had a smile on.
But I got voted nicest guy my senior year. I don't know if that counts as anything. I thought nice, being a nice guy will get you where you need to be. The girls will love you. But no, the girls were like, oh, you're so nice. I wish my boyfriend was nice like you. Nice, and he drives in with his Mustang GT, you know, hey, suck. You know, that's
exactly.
Well, let me tell you something. Pat yourself on the back, because you're doing something right.
Yeah. Who cares if you have to take the unicycle to school every day?
In a world.
I got no regrets. It's just funny how you turn out. And I just feel comfortable. I would rather be in, I actually like hanging out with, my wife goes out with her girlfriends. I'd rather hang out with them. It's fun. I mean, I don't mind hanging out with guys, but I don't watch sports. I don't watch organized sports. It's funny how when men are around, they feel
like
they have to talk how big my dick's this big. My dick's this big. No, I'm cool. I'm all right. I'm like, how was your day at work, man? Like that I'd rather, it's just more fun. And it's my comfort zone, you know? And sometimes when you're around heterosexual men that aren't around women, they seem to talk about some, you know, that, you know, I know Trump took a lot of shit with that locker room shit, but yeah, that happens. Yeah, it absolutely does happen. I don't think they say what he said, but yeah, people will definitely jump and say things that I might go, nah, I'm all right. I'm not really into that. But they think just because you're a guy, they'll jump. They think you're part of the club.
Yeah.
Well, we gay boys can get pretty risque when we're having conversations among friends, of course, but you know, certainly I'm not, you know, in any way, shape, or form condoning what Trump said in that video or in that audio tape, but
who said they were so angry on your last episode that wanted to hit him in the face with your dick? What was that one?
We probably have all said that at some point.
No, I think it was Tom talking about fucking wanting to hit Paul Ryan in the face with his dick.
Oh my God. What did you say? He looked like a goblin?
He does. Oh. He looks like a fucking gremlin. He looks like a demon. He looks like a fucking demon.
That was awesome. That was just...
He was like, I will take your healthcare, poor people. That's like, exactly what it is.
Take my healthcare. Just take me to so bed. Funny.
No.
You are the worst, Tommy.
You are the worst, Tommy.
The worst.
Don't take our healthcare.
Yeah. Fuck her.
No, no, no. Don't take our healthcare. Don't do that. But still take me to bed.
That's who I am. And as if you listen to my show, that's what I share every day. Tonight's going to be a fun show. I have no idea what we're going to, I know what we're going to talk about, but this is my first time talking to my guest in person on Skype. And that's always fun too. You know, I meet people, you do social media. I always make sure, like, it was important, Nick, that I called you on the phone. Like that was, I wanted to talk to you. I didn't want this.
I kind of figured that was going to happen.
And you were cleaning your shower, you know, and I want any relationship I build through this not to be artificial, to be just based on social media and texting. I like to watch people's reaction. I've said awkward things to people on a podcast at a Skype call that they take, you know, and it's fun, you know, living through that weird, awkward, like, well, what did you say? Well, I don't, you know, it's, that's how conversations happen. Yep. You know, you walk away going, Jesus shit. Oh my God. I can't believe I just, okay. I'm not going to do that again.
Well, that's how real conversations happen.
Yeah. They're not, there's substance. And I don't listen to my shows because I enjoy remembering how those conversations went. Like, what do I want to keep from it? That's mine. The world will take it. I think that's fun to share it. And it's always cathartic when I listen to a show back. Like, I listened to episode 4 a week ago, and I was like, not bad, man, for episode 4, not bad.
I'm so afraid to go back and listen that far. Like, I won't go back probably, I think, around the 40s and 50s is maybe as far as I'll go.
Well, they're, most of them are not available anymore.
Oh, thank God.
You can't even get them at all?
No, not on iTunes, no.
Well.
No.
But I really appreciate you giving me this vehicle.
Except for episode 5.
You bitch. That's the one I was hoping was burnt in the fucking fiery pits of hell forever and ever.
So I want to ask you one question before we end this. And it's kind of, I think it's probably, this is the curveball. It's going to be an awkward question. But so I think that you're the type of person, and God, I hope I'm right, but I think that you're the type of person
I'm scared right
that
now.
Would
Me
really,
too.
That would support your kids no matter what.
Oh, okay.
And any type of situation. I want you to tell our listeners, if your son or daughter ever came out to you as gay, bi, or trans, or whatever it may be, how would you react to it, and how would you support them?
Well, we've openly talked about the kids to the kids about that because they're on their way to puberty, and my daughter's closer than my son is because some of the older boys and girls are going through that. No one ever taught me about puberty, so I'm way proactive about that because that's scary. That's very scary. Mm-hmm. But my wife just had a conversation with my son the other day. I already had the conversation with my son about what's going to happen with his body when he hits puberty.
Right?
I'm like, Nate, buddy, hair's going to grow down there. Things are going to get kind of weird. You're going to smell. You know, you're going to want to kiss girls, boys. Well, actually, I didn't say that. That's what she said. But Megan actually told me she had another conversation with him and said, you know, Nate, when you hit puberty, you're going to want to kiss girls or boys. And my son said, well, I'm not gay, Mom. And I said, well, okay, that's cool. But he didn't, I guarantee, my son did not say it like, I'm not gay, because we've talked about, my wife's a teacher. So she's exposed to kids going, middle school, exposed to kids going through changes in their lives. Yeah. So there are some kids that might be transgender and in the school system that she teaches.
Yeah.
But we don't raise our kids to be, judge anyone, because it's really, who the hell are they to judge anybody? Because they're going to be weird and different just like everybody else. And you have to accept people. Because me, I was bullied as a kid. I was an individual. I was a nerd. I mean, it sucks. It kills me when I hear other kids are bullied because my father did that. Any way to make people smaller than you. Your job is to make people bigger than they can be.
Right.
So my son said that, but it's not the last conversation we're going to have. I don't know. I mean, to your question is, did my son ever...
Well,
if
no.
They
if they were to ever come out,
no, all the power to them.
Yeah.
I can't actually, kind of cool. I that's interesting. Like, I just would want to make sure. I'm glad that I mean, when we were kids, it was a very different story. The movie It, Stephen King's It, comes out in October. If you read the chapter, the first couple chapters of that book, homophobic beyond belief. They use the F word and everything. It's crazy. But that would never happen now.
No.
But the fact my kids would be in an environment where they'd be accepted, there's nothing to be afraid of. So they can ask questions. And I'm actually curious. I'm more curious than that. That's a cool question, man. That really, Megan just said that to me the other day and said she had, but I'm so cool. My wife was like, yeah, you can want to kiss girls. You want to kiss guys. It really, you don't know. And if that's my father never would have said that to me. Yeah, God.
But that's amazing. And the reason I asked that question is because I want our listeners to hear that the world is changing and that parents are changing and that there is going to be a time where I don't think coming out will be really a thing.
It's not going to be a thing anymore. It's whatever. You're different.
Can I ask a follow-up question to that? Mm-hmm. Do you think that you are at this stage in your life are equipped to deal with either your daughter coming out or your son coming out and being able to sit down and have an informed conversation with them and know that there are resources out there that you can guide them to if they needed to?
Yeah, of course. But the number one resource would be me and my wife. I mean, I would hope that we would be the best to do that. I mean, gay, straight, or whatever, being different is what people judge you on.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going to school, high school. I didn't understand why being popular, you had to be the same. That I didn't understand that.
Right.
And then when I went to college and realized I could be myself, and people appreciated that. I love finding individuality in people. You know, I love the fact I know that when I called Nick, he was cleaning his shower. I didn't know that. He was cleaning his shower.
I was in booty shorts too, and a really skimpy tank, but nice. I didn't tell you that.
That's okay, buddy. But I the fact that. Everyone, I mean, we've had Jess over the house, you know, and my son kind of, you know, she doesn't look like or present herself as a normal, you know, feminine woman. I mean, that's okay to me to say? I don't know if you have a problem with that, but it created a conversation and we talked about it. My cousin John is gay and I don't know if he had a friend over, maybe not, but my grandmother always takes credit for. My grandmother takes credit for him being the first person to come out on, but it's all bullshit. My grandmother made the whole story up. No way. I found out the truth. She made that all up just because she wanted the credit. But I hope that I can teach my kids and even through my show that it's okay to be different and weird and it's what, you know, to be the same. You're forgotten if you're the same. Whatever. No one gives a shit if you're the same. But I'm someone who's never been somebody who, even how I do my job, I do it differently than other people because that's how people, you're remembered. That you want people to remember you and talk about you. And, you know, when your day is done, you want people to have a legacy, you know, behind. That's all I do. That's all I do every day, guys.
That's a beautiful thing.
You're just building your story.
It's just put my thumbprint on something that people go, remember that guy, Nick? That was really cool what he did. And then that leads to people that saying, you know, that really inspires me. And I don't do it in a way that I need the accolade, but go do it, do something else, impact somebody else. I did a show on paying it forward, do it to somebody else because that's the only way you make a difference. You can hate, you can be negative, you can hold grudges. You can choose to surround yourself with people that are worse than you because it makes you feel better. That's all bullshit. But it's all a choice. It's all simply and it's a hard and it's a scary choice, but I made that a long time ago to do it. And I can't look back at all.
And I think it's absolutely incredible, excuse me, that when you and your wife are talking with your children as they're approaching this marathon called puberty, that, you know, you're going to start to have these emotions and you might want to kiss girls or boys. I've never heard any parents talk to their children like that, where they don't put that picture in their head of how they're supposed to be, according to what society would say.
Gives them the freedom to really just allow themselves to embrace who they really are.
And push the uncomfortableness aside or be like, oh, wait, dad said I'm supposed to be this way. I have to kiss a girl, but I kind of want to kiss this boy. Like, you push that
whole burden away from them.
But I just thought that was absolutely incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
So, no, I was shocked too, Chris. My wife said that. I go, wow, cool, man. I didn't even do that. Like, you did that. That's awesome. What'd he say? And now I'm like, should I follow up with him? Like, what? That's pretty cool. Like, it's awesome.
I think it's important to note before we let you obviously plug yourself and your show and all of that stuff. I just want to say that I was really looking forward to this interview because I wanted to get to know you. I've heard a lot about you through Jess and through the idiots and Schmo. But clearly after this conversation, it's clear that beyond your podcast, you are a light in this world. And I am so thankful to have had this moment with you. So
thank you. That means a lot. Thanks, guys.
Seriously, because it's been an enlightening experience to talk to someone that is as open-minded and so aware of your surroundings and who you speak with and how you speak to people and how you approach situations. It's very positive. I think you're doing a great job. You should pat yourself on the back every day for who you are.
That's really hard for me to do, though. That's my struggle.
We'll get you a little
Nothing's ever good enough.
I feel you.
So I think right now, to many of our listeners who may be going through whatever, you know, adversity that may exist in their life, they're probably wishing for a dad like you. So take that with you to the bank, cash
it. I'm trying.
And do the best that you can because you're doing amazing things. I love your podcast. And, you know, I think that people, our listeners, if you can, would enjoy listening to your podcast. So mm-hmm. How can they do that if they want to?
All right. I have a website called thedependentindependent.com. It's a hub. Basically, you can stream the show. We do videos. I try my best to put my videos. Some people like watching rather than listening. So I put my big shows. I always say we, by the way, too, because I can't do this by myself. So it's usually me, but I use the word we all the time. Where I put videos, mini-sodes. I do a blog occasionally because sometimes I don't have a microphone in front of me, so I decide to write. But I'm pretty much everywhere you can find this podcast. So I'm on Instagram at dependent_Nick, Twitter, same thing, Facebook at the Dependent Independent Podcast page, YouTube at the Dependent Independent Podcast page. If you find my show within the show notes, you'll find links to everywhere. I wanted to make the show as accessible as possible. And it's on iTunes. Everybody, it was on iTunes first. Now it's everywhere else and still on iTunes.
And we'll put a link on our post for today and on our episode how you can access the iTunes version of the podcast as well.
And most people that download the show download all of them. They just start from the beginning and go all the way up. But I spend a lot of time picking the titles of my shows and the description of my shows because they're all different. So if you find one you like, check it out. If you don't, you don't. But there's a show pretty much for everybody. And just so you guys know, we have a segment on their show called the Are You Listening? I Think You Should podcast. So Gay Talk 2.0 will be on that. So you guys will be on my website if you guys are cool with that. On my Are You Listening page. So you guys, come on. Why would I not do that? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Why wouldn't I do that? I'll be talking about you guys tonight when I record. And I put my smoking jacket, my ascot on to talk about.
Are you recording it? Is it going to be video with the ascot? Or is mm-hmm. Okay, great.
I got to look around, though. I might just have a dress shirt on, maybe a tie that's undone, like maybe the Dean Martin look. I might do that.
That could work.
At least put the Freddy, the Fred look, the white shirt, the orange, Reggie. You know, you got to go for the Scooby.
This is from the 50s, so I'm trying to do like, if I had a pipe, it would be great.
You have kids, don't you have like one of those little bubble pipes? Or do they not do those anymore?
No.
Was that the cutoff in the 90s?
Yeah,
Chris, I don't think they make bubble pipes.
So that was the 90s? My generation 80s, was the last one.
You're looking at 83, maybe.
That's then you, about smoking, yeah.
You dip it in, but always some kids suck the, you know,
that
suck
was
the
me.
Stuff
I was
in.
The one who drank soap all the time by accident.
Of course you were.
That went on the wayside, much like bubble tape and all that other bubble gum.
And candy cigarettes.
Fruit by the foot. Oh, candy cigarettes were good.
Those were very good.
They were good.
They were.
Fruit by the foot. I love that. That was so tacky, though. I would always get
But now they have, like, organic
teeth.
Fruit by the foot. I'm like, no,
fuck
come
on.
The Give
one
me
time,
a goddamn break.
Yeah, that's when I want the high fructose corn syrup. The one time.
All right, well.
All right, well, Nick, you know, thank you so much for joining us again.
This is great, man. This is awesome. I'm pumped. Ready to do my show.
You're a breath of fresh air and kids all over the nation right now that are listening to our show. I hope that they want to have a dad like you, and I hope that they get one like you because you're amazing. You're a great guy. Yep. Thank you for joining us. And we hope to do this again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait to meet in person.
What are you guys doing next week? Every week I do.
All right, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nick G from the Independent. What did I say?
Damn
Independent,
it!
Independent Podcast.
There it is. Hot mess.
Done it. I got it.
Bye, Nick. Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
Be good. Bye.
And we're off. What a great guy.
He was a breath of fresh air.
Are you kidding me?
More like a breath of tequila. Right. But
did you guys ever see the movie, Spaceballs?
Duh.
With the little, you know, did you ever see Spaceballs?
Yes, yeah.
All right, so you remember when the electronic vacuum was coming over the planet and it opens sucks all the fresh air out? I think he took all that fresh air and just gave it to us in one episode.
I know.
Was amazing.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
You know what I realized, though, that whole process is he was talking about, you know, looking back while moving forward, or that's what his show's about. And we have all been talking about things that have happened in our past
mm-hmm.
and continuously, like he does on his show. But there's something so healing about really talking about what we've gone through. This show, I guess I'd never realized it before. This show has kind of moved me to a better place because I've been able to talk through things continuously with two of my best friends and just put it out there for the world.
Ditto.
Like, no and matter
you can
what,
get a blunt response to it, or you know,
like Trish, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You're being foolish here, or here. No, you were being right there. Like it's good to get the different perspectives between the three of us. Even being so close, we still every day can surprise one another with our opinions or our views on something.
I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but I have always been a fairly private person when it comes to personal matters. And this show over the past, you know, year and a half has really brought me out of that shell and allowed me to share a little bit of myself and my private matters out there, mm-hmm. you know, and put it out there. And, you know, my struggles with my father, you know, all the things that were going on in my life, and especially last week, that was a crazy week. I'm not going to talk about it, but, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, when you do something like this, it really can provide a really, really good vehicle for you to be able to find yourself, find your friends, share your experiences, and really open up and let some of that stored up, you know, either anger or oppression, just let it go.
Or sadness. And no matter what you go through as a person, whether it's great and amazing and you have this amazing life, or you've had a hard upbringing, or whatever you go through, it helps tell your story. And if you have a vehicle or a venue in which you can speak to that and speak through that, you're going to learn from it and you're going to grow from it. And this opportunity, not just this opportunity, I mean, I've been working on myself for a long time and I will continue to work on myself, but talking consistently about something or about your past or about the future, it puts everything into it helps you put things into perspective. Where if, like you said, you were closed off, it's harder to get to that healthy place. So the show is helping all of us in a way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so. I think it's a positive thing and I'm appreciative for it. And I appreciate both of you.
And I appreciate our listeners.
And our listeners.
Our 3, 4, 5 of them, whatever they are.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, but I appreciate you guys for coming and sharing in this experience with me. And I'm sharing it in your experiences as well, because, again, this is what the whole purpose of this was.
So to flip this to be more funny or lighter. So do you guys ever go on theadvocate.com? Cursive, advocate.com.
I haven't been on theadvocate.com in a long time. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever been on theadvocate.com, period. But I did read the Advocate publication.
Yeah, I used to read the paper that would come out when I was working downtown more often. Yeah.
So they have a menu bar. And at the top of the menu bar, there's like, you know, what's trending and like what the most stories are about. Like, you know, and you click on that thing and there's all of these stories.
Is it us?
No, but I think it's hilarious because... Obviously, Donald Trump has one.
Ugh.
Feminism, Chechnya, obviously. The Advocate's 50th, because this is their 50th. Trans has one. But then, Texas, the state of Texas, has a tab on the Advocate's website.
Is it trending?
Yes.
Why is it trending?
Because there's so much shit happening in Texas all the time.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like, it's ridiculous whether it's good or it's bad. Generally, it's not good.
Yeah.
But it's like, this state is just throwing out this bullshit constantly.
Poor Texans. I feel sorry for our brothers and sisters that are living on that in that state. Hang in there. Bears down there too.
The problem is, like, you know, like Austin and Dallas, you know, your big cities, they're, from what I understand, they're fine and great to live in and very progressive. I mean, but that's what happens in cities. But it's when you go outside the cities, that's when you're falling into your
right.
really, really red counties and red states that are just like...
Well, you have laws that in certain, you know, counties and or maybe in, even in Texas as a whole, you know, if you step on someone's fucking property, they can shoot you dead. Like,
yeah.
They have these crazy backward, wild, wild west fucking laws signed. It's insane.
So speaking of which... Texas.
I apologize for all the coughing, but I'm getting rid of something. So, but go ahead, Texas.
This actually works perfectly.
Yes. So, to Texas, in the news again. So they they passed a bathroom bill to you know, not allow transgender to use the bathroom of their choosing, but the bathroom of their birth sex. So, transgender Texans are having their public rights sent back to the Stone Age after the Senate State Affair Committee voted to approve Senate Bill 3. This bill, like many other proposed of its kind, forces transgender individuals to use public restrooms that correspond with their assigned gender at birth. This bill goes to prevent public facilities like schools and government's offices and enforcing rules that contradict the law. Now it was said that they did this to protect the youth. Only a portion of the youth.
Only a portion. The portion that's not part of the LGBT community.
The other portion that is being repressed and pushed down is now being segregated.
Which sucks. But, you know, it's... I can't wait until all this ends up at the Supreme Court and just...
Mm. Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's... This started in North Carolina, and it's been in other states, and the Supreme Court's not taking those cases.
They're waiting for more states to jump on board before they make
right.
You know, like, just sort of like gay marriage. We had to wait for 35 states to jump on board for them to finally say, you know what, the rest of you, shut the fuck up.
There well, at go. That point, you're over a majority.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point.
But, and I think that's probably where they're headed with this. So I guess we'll just have to stick a pin in that one and find out and see where it goes.
Well, I mean, we've already seen so much aggression against the trans community, not to mention the amount of suicides
that right. needs to stop.
That's bad. Are happening. Now these people that voted for it, they said, I'm hearing that it's somehow our fault that people are committed suicide.
Yes.
Yes, it is your fault.
Because you are promoting laws that are inhibiting people from being who they truly are supposed to be, who they want to be.
You are repressing a people.
Yeah.
You are telling them that they are lesser. By passing this bill, by creating an environment like this, you are, in fact, creating an environment where people are killing themselves. So yes, people like this group of people that are passing bills like this, I'll say it, you're murderers.
Well, and you know, the important thing to realize too is that Kali Khan, I believe it's the staff attorney over at the ACLU's office in Texas, at that particular branch, said that the legislation is in violation of the Constitution. They've introduced legislation that targets transgender Texans under the guise of privacy and safety. So I hope that, you know, it works its way up and people do what they have to do.
You know what? You're right. It is against the Constitution. We know that it's against the Constitution. Thank you for the ACLU standing up like this. Thank you. You need to do that. That's what you're there for. But beyond that, continuing to try to make this happen is continuing an environment that is killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, these keep getting struck down. These keep getting fought against. That's not going to happen. People will be people. People are going to be transgender and they are going to go to the bathroom in the bathroom that they feel most comfortable in. Now, you are creating an environment that's killing people. So shut the fuck up and let people be people.
Preach, girl, preach.
Well, there's a contender that may be a spotlight of hope to make some differences in Texas. Dallas business owner Jeffrey Payne declared his candidacy, cursive, for the 2018 governor's election, filing as a Democrat candidate shortly after Abbott, who is currently serving, announced his bid for re-election on Friday. In a statement for the Dallas Voice, Payne branded the current governor as a quote, as quote, a disaster for Texas. Now, Payne is an openly gay man and has been actively involved in the Dallas LGBT community, being the owner of a popular Dallas gay leather bar known as the Eagle. I've never been there, but I've been close to it.
Yeah.
So the owner of the Eagle. The owner of the Eagle is officially running for governor of Texas next year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and while it may, seem crazy that someone who has been crowned International Mr. Leather in 2009 is running for governor, look at who our president is. That's what this article is reporting.
Everything's possible.
Exactly. And although Payne is also...
Wait, Chris, what do you say? This is what happens when parents tell their kids they can do
this
whatever.
This is what happens when parents tell their kid, you can do anything when you grow up, or anyone can be president. Anyone can be president. No, bitch. No. Not everyone. You'd be like, eh, you might want to be a like a public
anyone
school
can
teacher.
Be president, but you have got to go to school for that shit.
Yeah.
Work your ass off.
Yeah, learn
take
math.
Take some political science classes, not
or at least
freaking...
learn numbers. Like, get like the fucking core shit down.
And,
like,
and one second language. Just get one in there.
It's like, really? You sell a building and all of a sudden you think you're presidential?
You're like, I got this hugely. Yeah. So, although Payne also points to a success in real estate, law firms, and philanthropy to show that he has Texans' true interest in mind, he has no plans to hide his divisive past and history with the LGBT community. So he's not pushing that aside. Like, he understands he has these things that can put forward. Apparently, like it said, he was a successful real estate agent. He ran successful law firms. He was a philanthropist. So he has the best interests of Texans in mind. And he doesn't have an easy road in front of him. You know, if you look at it, Texas has not elected a non-Republican governor since 1991. And in national presidential elections, has consistently voted Republican since 1980. So he's got a difficult road in front of him.
And on top
get
of that.
Get off a grinder, girl, because they're going to find all those pictures.
He works at he owns the Eagle. So...
shit's gonna come out.
Oh, but that's—I mean, it's gonna be dirty.
So that's why he but that's what he's taking on. He's literally taking on that dirt. He says he has no plans to hide his divisive past or his LGBT, the history of the LGBT community. So he's not saying that he's gonna try to hide or push aside what he's done. He was crowned International Mr. Leather.
That's amazing. I mean, like, I'm rooting for you. More power to you.
I'm just happy that at the end of the day, he's a contender. He's a beacon of hope for people in the community, you know, people in Dallas and Austin and Houston, these larger cities. But when you go to those smaller towns, like you were saying, when you get outside of the cities, the people who are afraid for their lives, this guy, even if he doesn't make it, that could just be a beacon of hope. Like, look, this dude's doing it. This dude's running. He's not going to push aside that he's been there to support our community and serve our community. So all the power to him. And I think that's very courageous of him.
Good luck. That's all I have to say.
Good luck, everybody else.
All right, I think we should wrap this up. But before we do, we've got gender identity terms and gay talk terms. So, Nicholas,
okay,
hop on those.
I'm going to hop on those after one quick thing.
Of course. So, as we lead into the two-hour mark.
Well, I feel like we're ending it on a high note. So I just want to say that University in Alabama, where our phone is from, our phone number is from, rejected a $3 million donation from the Alabama Baptist Convention because they wanted them to shut down Samford Together. And it's Samford University, which is a student LGBTQ organization. So props to you for doing that.
That's
$3 million. Yep. Turning down $3 million because that's amazing.
There's like, bye-bye.
I would have taken the money and then turned the proposition down. But anyway, claps for them. Bravo.
And now, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
It's UnicornBooty.com.
UnicornBooty.com.
UnicornBooty. UnicornBooty. UnicornBooty.com.
Hey. All right, so this week's gender identity definition
is really not brought by UnicornBooty.com.
Neither were any of today's stories.
Yes, one of mine was, but I didn't say it. So anyway, I'll say it right now.
No.
Okay, fine.
Fake news.
So the gender identity definition this week is passing. Passing, a term used by transgender people, which means that they are perceived by others as the gender with which they self-identify. Passing. There are so many of these guys. So many.
But they do. They do actually, you know, I've seen many. Oh, my God. So many.
Well, I mean that. But I was also saying there are just so many freaking gender identity definitions. That's like, and I support all of them 100%. But I'm just like, this list, man.
Well, that means you have a lot of material to get through.
But I'm learning a new one every week.
And I have a funny feeling that when I get to the bottom of the list, you know what's going to happen?
What was last week's?
Cisgender?
No,
I don't.
No point. No, go ahead.
I don't remember.
Oh, you're quizzing me if I'm paying attention.
Of course. You said I learn a new one every week.
So girl, I went home and died from the flu for like 5 days. I don't remember.
Oh, is that why I'm feeling sick?
Last week was non-binary.
All right. Let's go. Okay.
So everybody, this week's Gay Talk term, brought to you by unicornbooty.com. Contact. I picked this because of independent podcast, making connections, contact. This is very sexual, so it's fine.
All right.
So contact, mid-60s, to make known that there is a sexy man in the vicinity. To avoid arousing suspicion, the command may be murmured offhandedly while paging through a magazine. For example, don't break your neck, honey, but contact. Over towards the right. Your gay talk term is contact this week.
I can't.
But see, I would like it's supposed to be inconspicuous, but I'd be like, contact. Like contact. Like I would not be inconspicuous about it.
So
it's just a fun word to yell.
So it says to make known that there is a sexy man in the vicinity.
Exactly.
So I think we had a sexy man in the vicinity via Skype.
We made contact tonight.
We did. That's a good choice.
Don't
I like
break
it.
Your neck, but contact.
All right. We should bring this home, boys.
Yeah, let's close this fucking show out.
We need to go home. All right. So listen, if you love the show, head on over to iTunes and rate us and leave us a review. Help us by letting us and others know what you think of the show. If you're feeling generous and you'd like to help us out, become a Patreon. Using this service, you, our listener, can help support the show by making a pledge donation using this amazing service. Christopher.
Next week. Oh, boy, is it going to be cursive. Next week, we welcome the myth, the legend, the woman behind all my crazy adventures, Liz, my mama Maxwell, to the show.
Yes, queen. We're super excited to have her. She's awesome.
Oh, my God. And we also have to flip that around because next week you have to thank the guest. I can't. But anyway, so thank you to our guest, Nick G from the Dependent Independent Podcast, for joining us today on our show. For more information on his show, visit thedependentindependentpodcast.com.
Yes, queen. All right, well, Christopher?
Shall we put a rubber on it?
I think we need to cover that thing up.
All righty, guys. Our show is available on our website, GayTalk20, under Show and Episodes. It is available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com. You can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Thanks, girl. If you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website, click on our Contact Us tab right at the top of your web browser. You can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast. You can submit a question for an individual host, and you can also leave us a question via voice message, which we can answer here on the show for you by just simply calling 334-GAY-TALK. If you need the numbers, it's 334-429-8255. Please do not forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an amazing show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.